You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NBA draft is tomorrow. Free agency rumors are running wild. It's the NBA offseason at its finest, and it's all right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage throughout the entire offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, full coverage of the NBA draft, free agency coverage, summer league, including the California Classic that is less than 2 weeks away inside the Golden One Center, then summer league in Las Vegas after that, build up all the way to training camp and the start of the 2019-2020 season. This is the place for you. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I've been very active on Twitter, and you can get involved at any time at Matt George KHDK. You can also email me at any time if you want to discuss things with me. If you're not on Twitter or not on social media, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And all these rumors are going crazy, especially around free agency. And I've said it a number of times here on the podcast, it's strange how we're approaching this offseason compared to past offseasons, at least from a Sacramento perspective, right? Because the Kings so often put all of their weight and all their attention and interest in the NBA draft, because free agency, while it's important for the Kings to maybe get a nice player or two, a piece or two to fit into a 15, 20 minutes per game type role, we never expect the Kings to be involved in the meat of free agency, to be involved in all the rumors for the biggest names. But that's not the case this year. The Kings have money to spend. If you take away Harrison Barnes' cap hold and Willie Cauley-Stein's cap hold, the Kings have almost $70 million of cap space, which is second in the NBA, only behind the New York Knicks. So the Kings have money to spend, plus they have a good young core, a lot to sell here in Sacramento if you are Vlade Divac, Luke Walton, and this front office staff overall. Free agency is going to be nuts from a Sacramento Kings and NBA perspective as a whole, and we are going to be talking about it at length, really, as much as we can. Now, free agency begins on June 30th. Normally, it would be July 1st because the free agency period would start at midnight Eastern time, which is 9 p.m. Pacific, but that's not the case anymore. They changed that. They bumped it back a few hours just so we as fans and media and things like that wouldn't have to stay up all night to really follow all the rumors, all the agreements going on. So basically, it's now, it's 3 o'clock is 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern is when free agency opens on June 30th, which is coming up very, very quick, and that means the rumors are going wild. And yesterday was a major rumor day in terms of free agency all over the league, and the Kings were involved in some of these rumors. Today on the podcast, we're going to be discussing Harrison Barnes declining his $25 million player option. He is now an unrestricted free agent. That has Kings fans worried. Many are worried. Many are concerned. And I'm here to tell you why you shouldn't be concerned at all, and why everything is happening according to plan, at least in Harrison Barnes's case. Now, we also heard other players, not too many surprises around the league of certain players opting out of their deals, going to test free agency. But the big surprise from yesterday was Boston Celtics center Al Horford, who denied his player option. And we were thinking it was going to be for the same reasons, that he was looking to restructure a long-term deal with the Boston Celtics. But then rumors came out that conversation had broken down and that Horford was not interested in re-signing with the Celtics because he believes there is a four-year, $100 million type contract out there for him that some team will offer, which is better than what the Boston Celtics were looking to give him. So that dropped. That caused all sorts of chaos on Sacramento Kings Twitter. We're going to discuss about that as well. I'll share with you my dream scenario or my ideal scenario for the Kings in free agency, the two players that I would love to see them get, and it may surprise you a little bit. And then finally, I have to describe or I have to explain my decision-making behind the trade that I made in the Locked On NBA mock draft. I hope you got the chance to hear that entire thing. It is now completely finished and up for you on the Locked On NBA podcast page. You can listen to all, I believe, 5 episodes featuring all of the first round picks, 1 through 30. I made a trade to move into the first round, so I'll explain that trade at the end of the show. It's crazy. We're on the eve of the NBA draft, and I'm not really talking about it that much. That's because I had a lot of great coverage and a fantastic preview with Kevin Boone of CBS Sports. I highly encourage you to go and listen to that podcast. It was on Monday, so if you missed that, go back and take a listen to it right now, and you can hear my thoughts about the NBA draft. You can hear some excellent analysis and breakdowns of what the Kings can do, and then at the end of the show, I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about what we're going to be doing on the Locked On Podcast Network and what I'm going to be bringing to the Locked On Podcast Network on draft day itself, and then on the Friday after draft day as we recap everything that went down. So there's the roadmap. You all set up? You ready to go? Let's dive right into it. Harrison Barnes, he has declined his $25 million player option. He is now an unrestricted free agent, and that has Kings fans freaking out that he would leave Sacramento. Why would he deny, or why would he waive that much money? Is he not interested in being a King anymore? Does he think he can get more on the open market? The simple answer to both of those questions is no. I think Harrison Barnes is very aware of how much money he is worth and how much money that he can get realistically on the open market. He's also aware that there are a lot of players at his position that are ahead of him in terms of paydays by teams with money this season. But all of that does not matter because Harrison Barnes, we knew this was going to be the most likely scenario from the day that the trade was made. The Kings traded for Harrison Barnes, got him from the Dallas Mavericks a day or two before the trade deadline, and we heard immediately, well, we knew immediately that he was going to have that player option at the end of the season, and we knew, because the Sacramento Kings and Vlade Divac, Kings general manager, were very open about it, that the Kings were going to be interested in trying to get him to waive that $25 million player option and sign him to a more long-term deal for less money per year. So in the short term, it saves them a little bit of money, but it gives Harrison Barnes some much-needed security on his contract. A longer contract, maybe 3-4 years guaranteed. A lot easier for a player like Harrison Barnes to be comfortable with, even if it's $5 or so million less per year. And that's a big deal, especially when we're seeing players like Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, big money players, going down with pretty significant injuries. We saw what happened to Marcus Cousins, how much money he has lost because of his injuries. We saw how much money Isaiah Thomas lost because of his injuries when he was playing through that bad hip with the Boston Celtics. So players are aware of this, and Harrison Barnes is a brilliant guy, a very smart guy, and I know he is taking that into account along with his agency and his team as a whole. But all that aside, the plan is proceeding the right way. Things are happening the way that we expect it to, and quite honestly, the way that both sides want it to. The likelihood, I would say there is an 85 to 90% chance that the Kings and Harrison Barnes are going to be getting a deal done really, really quickly. Something estimated around a 4-year, $80 million contract working out to $20 million per year. Of course, it could be front-loaded, it could be back-loaded. All those details to come out later. But that's the ballpark we're discussing. And we know that those discussions have been going on for quite some time. Now, if you were to ask Harrison Barnes at the end of the season and last season, and even during his trip to India, what he's thinking about and the discussions, his ideas behind the contract, he'll answer it the right way by saying, you know, I'm just focused on here and now, and I will handle that when it comes to that. Even though they say that, though, there are communications, conversations going on, and they've been going on for quite some time. If the 10% happens, or the 15% happens, that Harrison Barnes does not return to Sacramento, I'm very confident in saying that that would be the choice of the Sacramento Kings, not so much Harrison Barnes. Now, he could get other good offers elsewhere. He's a great player, adds depth, defense, small forward, can shoot, can score when needed, a great player. So I'm sure he's going to get offers elsewhere, but I'm very, very confident in telling you that the Kings are his number one option, and that he waived his player option knowing and expecting to be returning to the Sacramento Kings on a more long-term, less money per year deal. So everybody calm down. It's not impossible that he could be gone. But I want to reiterate, if he is gone, if he does not return to Sacramento, it's more than likely it's because of a scenario where the Kings made the choice not to bring him back, pulled the offer off the table, or offered him less money than he would have gotten elsewhere so that maybe they could offer more money towards a Tobias Harris or somebody else at his position. I'm more than confident in saying that. Before we move on to these Al Horford rumors, I want to let you know that when you are driving to work or from work around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Kings, and we will be right there with you for the drive. It's that easy. No button pressing, nothing. You say, play podcast Locked On Kings. It'll immediately play the most recent podcast for you. Check it out. Take advantage of that. That's pretty rad. Al Horford, could he be a Sacramento King? Are the Kings potentially trying to steal him away from the Boston Celtics the same way that they stole Nemanja Bjelica away from the Philadelphia 76ers? It's been in Vlade's playbook before, but how much money is it going to cost, and is it a right decision? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. The Boston Celtics are, I don't want to say in shambles right now, but their foundation seems to be crumbling from beneath them. We know Kyrie Irving is more than likely gone, although it is possible that he re-signs. We're reading reports and hearing rumors that he is currently ghosting the Celtics, and by that I mean he's not returning phone calls, he's not answering teammate texts. I mean, he's just gone completely radio silent, very similar to what Kawhi Leonard did to the San Antonio Spurs a couple of seasons ago. But it feels like Kyrie's gone. We know they still have a couple of great young players in Jordan Brown and in, or sorry, Jaylen Brown, excuse me, and Jason Tatum. They also still have Gordon Hayward, who's not the same since his Utah days and when he went down with that horrific injury in his first game with the Boston Celtics. But an anchor of that team has been the veteran Al Horford. Came over from the Atlanta Hawks, former All-Star, fantastic player, can space the floor, good defender, just a solid overall guy. An important guy to have, and a guy that the Boston Celtics expected and do expect to have back with them starting next season. Similar to the Harrison Barnes situation, they expected Horford to opt out of his contract, decline his player option, and re-sign a longer-term deal. Maybe around the same range as what the Kings are looking at for Harrison Barnes. But then these rumors surfaced yesterday that Al Horford and his agency, his camp, believe and theoretically know for a fact that there is a $100 million contract over most likely 4 years out there for him somewhere. And Kings Twitter got wind of this, and they know the Kings have money to spend, and they know the Kings are looking for a center, and it picked up steam very, very quickly. Now, before I dive into this, I want to say this specifically. I want to start with the positives of Al Horford. In terms of short-term fit, in terms of plugging him into this Kings lineup now, making him the starting center, Marvin Bagley being the starting four, and then let's assume Harrison Barnes comes back, so you have Fox, Hield, and Barnes as your 1, 2, and 3. That's a really good lineup. And that is a group, a starting five, that can make some serious noise for playoff contention in the Western Conference. I do believe Al Horford would make this team significantly better next season, and maybe even the following season. I understand how well he fits in with the Kings, because he can space the floor. He adds some rim protection and some defense that the Kings so desperately need. So he checks a lot of the boxes. And I completely acknowledge that, and am all right with that. However, Al Horford is 33 years old and is going to take a lot of money to get to Sacramento. So let's say the Kings are that team that Horford believes will offer him a 4-year, $100 million contract. That is a lot of money and a lot of commitment to someone who, by the time that contract is over, will be 37 years old. Now, it's not unheard of for 37-plus-year-olds to play in the NBA. I mean, look at Vince Carter, although I consider Vince Carter to be a complete anomaly because Vince Carter has been able to completely adapt his game to where he can still be an efficient, important player. But Vince Carter is just as much of a on-court coach and locker room presence as he is a contributor on the floor, if not more so to this point. In my opinion, that's what Al Horford would turn into after just 2 years. The reality is, if you're paying someone the money that Al Horford is potentially commanding on the open market, then you're going to want them to be at peak production for the length of their contract. And the likelihood of Al Horford doing that at 35 plus years old is pretty low, especially with a team who has built their identity around playing fast, getting up and down the floor, and running you out of the building. Horford can't do that. That doesn't mean he's not a great fit, and that doesn't mean, like I said, in the short term, he wouldn't work. But if the contract was put in front of me, the situation, Al Horford had already agreed to it, and it was up to me to sign it or rip it up, a four-year, $100 million contract, $25 million per year, the fourth year completely guaranteed, if you put that right in front of me right now, I'd rip it up. Because I don't believe you're getting 2 years or more than 2 years of production from Al Horford that contract would warrant. And then at that point, you're stuck with $50 million still to play or pay a player that is old, that is well past his prime, and is not going to be easy to trade away. Unless you're also attaching another good young player or a bunch of draft picks to it. However, if you put the contract in front of me and it looked like this, let's say it was 4 years with the four-year team option. It was still $100 million, and the first 2 years were front-loaded, meaning you're paying him more money in years one and year two of the contract than you would in year three and year four, which would be the team option. I'm okay with that. If Al Horford has agreed to that, I'm okay with that, and I'm taking that. However, based off of the reports that we're hearing, it sounds like Al Horford is looking for a four-year guaranteed contract because he wants longevity at this point in his career. He wants this to be his last big contract, and he wants to get paid until he decides at 37 years old, I'm riding off into the sunset. So if the Kings did offer him 4 years, $100 million front-loaded with the fourth year being a team option, my gut feeling says he doesn't accept that because he believes, and there might be another team out there, that gives him 4 years guaranteed, even if it's for a little bit less money. But I'm speculating at this point as to what Al Horford wants. We're just going off of the rumors of what we've heard from this report that surfaced yesterday. I'm curious if you feel the same way. Again, I acknowledge Al Horford could potentially be a fantastic fit short term with this team. He would make this team instantly better, and next year would be very, very exciting. Maybe even the year after that, too. But years three and four of that contract, I think you can expect a steep, significant drop-off. And he'll eat so much, I hesitate to say so much cap at that point, because who knows where we expect the salary cap to continue to increase. So I'm not going to really speculate about that. But he's going to eat a significant portion of your cap space. And if he is at 35 years old and not producing, I mean, it's like the Zach Randolph situation all over again, except the Kings weren't paying Zach Randolph nearly as much money. So it would not be as easy to get rid of his contract the same way the Kings were able to get rid of his contract at the trade deadline this season. Pros and cons. I can see the argument for both sides. But if you put a flat four-year, $100 million contract, all 4 years guaranteed in front of me for Al Horford that Al had agreed to and all I had to do was sign it, I wouldn't sign it. I'd rip it up. I think there are better options out there, including my ideal scenario. Now, you all know how much I love Tobias Harris. And the fact that the Kings have so much money available, the fact that Harrison Barnes has opted out, the fact that they're looking for scoring and defense still, Tobias Harris could potentially be someone in the Kings' wheelhouse, which is crazy to think about. I had a debate with a number of people on Twitter this week about, and really last week too, about if the Kings could even attract names like this. And I was told by multiple people that they don't believe that they'll believe it when they see it, right? Which is a completely justifiable approach to free agency. The Kings have struggled to be an attractive market for free agency for really their entire existence in Sacramento. My argument to that whole thing was, yeah, but they didn't have the money, the assets, and the team that they have now. And if anybody wants to counter me with the fact that, well, the Kings didn't get very good or any major free agents in their glory days in the late 90s, early 2000s, other than Vlade Divac, that's correct. But why would they want to? They had the quote-unquote greatest show on court. They had a starting five of players that played magnificently together that were good enough to win a title. They didn't win a title because they couldn't make free throws in Game 7 and they got screwed over by a corrupt official in Game 6. That's why they didn't win a title. So I'm 100% okay looking back with Petrie and the Kings not electing to move Doug Christie to the bench so that they could bring in a star free agent to play his position at the shooting guard spot. Maybe it would have worked. I completely understand why they wouldn't want to do that and didn't do that. So I don't really hold the Kings' inability to sign a free agent during that time period against the organization now, because we have no idea if the Kings were even interested in trying to get a big name free agent. And based off of what we saw with that lineup, I would argue that they probably weren't too interested in throwing a lot of money at another star. They had their stars here. They had a team that could have won the NBA championship, should have won the NBA championship, and we all know what happened. But I'm going to get off my soapbox there. I digress there. But the Kings now have state-of-the-art Golden 1 Center, fantastic fan base. I mean, they've had that the entire time. They have a lot of money to spend. They have a coach that has a reputation around the league of being a player's coach in Luke Walton. And they have a phenomenal young core that has gained a lot of attention and traction around the league. So you bring in a free agent for a meeting. Let's say it's Tobias Harris. Let's say it's Al Horford. You bring them to Sacramento for a meeting. They're sitting down at a table, and across from them is Vlade, Walton, and De'Aaron Fox. It's hard to say no to that group, and it's easy to be impressed by that group. That's something that the Kings have really never had, certainly in Vlade's time as a general manager. And honestly, I don't think they've had this many assets ever in the Sacramento era, which is pretty awesome and pretty crazy to think about. But my ideal scenario, my ideal situation, what I want to see the Kings do, and again, this is assuming because I'm very confident in the fact that the Kings are going to re-sign Harrison Barnes, agree to a deal with him almost immediately around the four-year, $80 million range. My ideal scenario is the Kings getting Patrick Beverley and Dwayne Dedmon. That's my ideal situation. Even if they don't get my favorite Tobias Harris. Dedmon, starting center, checks those boxes. A lot cheaper than Al Horford, also younger than Al Horford. Patrick Beverley, probably going to cost a little bit more money to get him away from the Los Angeles Clippers or the Lakers or all the other teams that I know are interested in him. He backs up De'Aaron Fox. He also teaches De'Aaron Fox how to be a dog defensively. I love that fit too. That's my ideal situation for free agency. That's my best case, my perfect realistic scenario for the Kings. And I want you to share yours with me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I put out a poll yesterday on Twitter, and it's still active, well, as at the time of this recording. It's going to be active, I think, until early this afternoon if you want to be a part of it. But I put out a poll that said, you have the choice, and you can choose how this free agency period ends for the Kings. And then Harrison Barnes is included in all these scenarios because it's extremely likely that he and the Kings agree to a long-term, less-money deal. I put out four options for you. 365 votes in already. Option one is the Kings get Barnes and Tobias Harris for basically all their cap space. The Kings get Barnes, Beverly, and Dedmon, that I voted was my ideal situation. The Kings get Barnes, Ricky Rubio, and Brook Lopez. Or the Kings get Barnes and Nikola Vucevic. 52% of you agree with me. 52% of you want the Kings to get Barnes, Beverly, and Dedmon, or would choose out of all those options for the Kings to get those three. And honestly, if I put Al Horford on that list, I still believe that Barnes, Beverly, and Dedmon would get more traction and more votes than Barnes and Al Horford. But you let me know. At MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. All right, I hope you got the opportunity to listen to the Locked On NBA mock draft, all 30 picks. Monday's episode this week was the episode where I made my pick and explained the trade that I made with the Utah Jazz, and the trade was as follows. I traded Nemanja Bjelica and the number 40 pick, which is the 10th pick in the second round, for Jay Crowder and the number 23 pick. I'm a big fan of Jay Crowder. I think he's underappreciated in the NBA. He's not that great of a shooter, around 30% this last season, but he does add some small forward depth, can come off the bench, play behind Harrison Barnes, and immediately helps you defensively, especially on the perimeter, but can also play decent interior defense. He is owed $15 million this year and $15 million next year, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but that's certainly not the end of the world, and the Kings can definitely afford that. You have to remember that Nemanja Bjelica's salary would also come off the books as well. And then with the 23rd pick, I ended up taking, and it was a reach, and I recognize it was a reach, but I really like him. I think he's a fantastic fit, and I also love the fact that he was a senior in college last year, so he's going to be definitely NBA ready, and that's Admiral Schofield out of Tennessee. I think it was a fantastic trade. I don't think it's a scenario that would ever happen in real life. I'm not predicting that to happen, but that gives you an idea of what I think a reasonable trade into the first round would look like from a Kings perspective. I'm not interested, if I'm the Kings, in trading and packaging draft picks just to move up into the first round if I'm not getting another veteran-type asset like a Jay Crowder involved in the deal. Did you like that trade? Did you not like that trade? Would you have made that trade? Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And again, go back and listen, if you haven't already, to all the episodes of the mock drafts. Let that be your build-up to tomorrow's NBA draft. And speaking of tomorrow's NBA draft, I won't have a show for you because it'll make no sense to record and speculate before the draft happens itself. However, I am going to be at the Golden 1 Center covering the entire draft, and afterwards is a press conference from Kings general manager Vlade Divac. So I will be recording that press conference, and I will be uploading that press conference probably a little late tomorrow night, maybe around 8, 9 o'clock, depends on when he steps up to the podium. So that will be going up tomorrow, Vlade's full press conference, completely unedited, none of my commentary, just the press conference itself. And then on Friday, I will come back, we'll break down the draft, talk about the moves the Kings made, the effect that it could have on free agency, and we will we'll carry on, recap everything, and have a good time with that. So that is the game plan. That's how we are handling the NBA draft here over the next couple of days on the Locked On Kings podcast, and I certainly hope you will join me for both of those episodes. Huge thank you to all of you who have responded to me and shared your feedback. So many of you have loved the frequent guests that I've been getting here over the last three or so weeks on the podcast. I know the podcast episodes haven't been as frequent as normal, sometimes two a week, sometimes three a week, but I'm really efforting making sure that the podcasts that are recorded do have great guests or fantastic content, and you seem to be really recognizing that and appreciative of that, which makes me very happy and makes us here on the Locked On Podcast Network as a whole pleased with the work that we're putting out. So thank you very much for your feedback. If you have anything to add, you can reach out at any time. Also, leave a review if you are able to, wherever you're listening to this podcast, Himalaya, iTunes, Spotify, whatever. If there's a review section, download that app or take some time to comment and share what you like, what you don't like about the podcast. We will do our best to improve every single day. Tomorrow, Vlade's press conference. Friday, full draft breakdown. I will talk to you then. For now, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to today's Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.